than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Well, it is official. The Ravens are heading to the playoffs. Was there ever a doubt in your mind? I know there's a couple doubters out there. I know you're probably listening. This might be your first show of the year, but that's all right. Welcome in. The Ravens are heading to the playoffs. Now there's just, what, three games left of the regular season, and there's still a lot at stake. Joining me, as always, to talk all about this past game, what we got coming up, Christmas movies, I don't know, whatever we want to talk about. My buddy Josh, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Big trust, man. How you doing?
I'm feeling good.
I'm doing good, too, as well, man. It's right in the middle of the Christmas season here, and it's kind of bittersweet. You said three games left. It's kind of depressing, but not really when the fine for the P word is lifted, and the Ravens, like you said, Festivus Maximus, we are in the playoffs. And then now, obviously, we just got a jockey for position, right? And the Ravens are in a great position, aren't they?
Absolutely. They are in a fantastic position right now. Winners of their last nine. And I kind of sucks right now that it's a short week for these guys, because you can tell these guys have nine wins under their belt. There's a lot of injuries and a lot of guys that are pretty tired right now. And they're coming up on a short week, but hopefully...
Tired? They've been resting in the fourth quarter.
Well, tired. Some of them have. But hey, let's talk about this Buffalo game. This happened this past Sunday. This was definitely one that took a toll on the players out there. It was a tight game. I thought it was a really great game to watch, but it definitely tested Lamar Jackson and the offense this time around. You could tell that the Buffalo Bills did their homework. Thankfully, the Ravens were able to come out with a win, but this one was a tough one for the boys. I think this may have been Lamar's toughest test yet.
Yeah, man, it was a lot tougher than I anticipated. Didn't we predict a 7-point win?
I believe I predicted 24-17 exactly.
Let's go back and roll the tape, but I think you did. I think you were right above me. I said 20-13. You said 24-17, I believe. So I think you were just above me. And I think you might have gotten this one right on the nose.
Man. I think I did.
I think you should play a contest. Did you play it?
I think I'm going to go buy myself a Powerball ticket right now.
Well, if it's any consolation, I had an early Christmas scratch off. I was one away from 500 and two scratches away from 30 grand. So missed it. But hey, your prediction was right on. But we both got that. We just knew it was going to be that close game. But I actually thought, you know, even though it wasn't the rain, we had the wind this time. It seems like the elements are out there. But this one was more so hard fought, if not from the. Even though I know the Niners game, sorry, I was lost for words there. Niners game got down to the last second with the field goal. This one almost came down to – it was actually down to the final seconds, right, because we needed a stop at the end to win. But I just felt like the game was closer than it should have been. I don't know. That whole sequence in the fourth quarter was kind of crazy. I mean, the Ravens go 24-9 with just under 10 minutes to play. I really thought it was over. I'm like, okay, they weren't doing anything on offense. Our defense was suffocating, and then they go down and get the touchdown to 2 points to pull it within one score. You know, 15 got down to 7 real quick, and all of a sudden it was a ball game. But I felt like you said from the get-go, this was probably the toughest defense. I know the Niners defense speaks for itself, but I felt like we kept them relatively quiet, and Lamar still had his way, even though it was a close game there in the rain. 2 weeks ago, this one, I just felt like, you know, they actually drawed up a good game plan for Lamar, you know, and it was kind of frustrating a little bit for the offense, the run game. It was hard fought again. It was like an AFC North clash, man. It was, for the Ravens' sake, it was AFC North football. It was cold, windy, you know, just running the football. Mark Andrews, tough yards. You know, you got Gus the Bus running people over, fighting for every yard. Lamar trying to get there, and but Lamar did have another signature ankle break or something happened with a defender. He kind of, you know, juked him in the next year. It was pretty fun.
He juked him like six or seven times. I thought he was about to do like a
left, right, and the guy didn't know where to go. So,
What was that game? What was the game? Limbo. I felt like he was playing the limbo. He kept going like lower and lower down on the ground.
Yep, absolutely. And then he actually did, you know, lose his footing there. So kudos to Lamar and his athleticism making those plays happen. And, you know, it was tough sledding on the run game. In the passing game, you know, the deep shots weren't there. I mean, you know, it just was really a tough game. But at both sides, I mean, both offenses are really struggling. But credit to the Ravens defense, they harassed Josh Allen all day long. And this has become a recurring theme, man. Back when, what, it was like not even 2 months ago, the Ravens were ranked in the bottom half of the league, almost near the very bottom in total defense, and they weren't getting pressure on the quarterback. And now you're talking a team that just not only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but count them, 6 sacks. You know, they talk about Brock Lesnar, Superlex City. We might talk Sack City here in, you know, Charm City in Baltimore. But, yeah, they got 6 sacks on Josh Allen, countless numerous pressures, and they were hitting him hard all day on Sunday. Both of them and both quarterbacks, you know, were taking the licks, and it was just a war, man. This game was a flat out war, and the Ravens, you know, as we know, did come victorious, man. But I just felt like they were kept in check, but they did enough to win. But this was a show for the defense. And like we alluded to before, man, on previous shows, like we talked about on the Niners game, right? You know, me and you kind of breaking it down. You know, it was all Lamar with these blowout wins and sitting in the fourth quarter. But now it's kind of like the defense has turned. It's December football. You got to play your best football right now. And you got to, you know, get these little goals met. Now they got the playoff official berth. Now it's the AFC North crown and then jockey for the number one seed. So there's some little goals here to be had, but they're chipping away a little bit. But it's, now, as you come in December football, the offense is, now I wouldn't say sputtering, right? But they're not putting up the points as they need to, but they don't really need to, right? Because the other half of the team, or the other facet, because you have offense, defense, special teams, they're picking up the slack in a big way, man. And it's actually refreshing because you're getting the old-school Baltimore defense coupled with an out-of-this-world offense. And one complements the other, and one might pick up the slack, one might have to win the game for him. And I think this was all defense, all said and done.
Hey, that's definitely what it felt like. And the defense did what they had to do, and looked fantastic while they were doing it. And you know, we were kind of saying at the beginning of the year how this was more of an offensive heavy team, but right now, I mean, the defense is coming out doing what they have to do, and proving that they are one of the best, if not the best, in the league. Now, coming out of that Buffalo Bills game, we do have some injuries to worry about. Again, this is a very short turnaround Thursday night game up against the Jets. It looks like Ronnie Stanley, who is having probably the best season of his career right now, will miss this game on Thursday due to a concussion. He wasn't pulled out of the game on Sunday, so he was able to finish that one completely. But I'm wondering, you know, if this was a Sunday game, would he be playing? I think just because of the concussion protocol that the NFL has, that he might be playing if this was a Sunday. But since it is a Thursday, he's going to be sitting. And hold on, let me pull this up 1 second. Who's going to be taking his spot? James Hurst would step in, and that will be his first start of the year. So what does this mean for the offense to lose Ronnie Stanley, who's doing such a fantastic job, and having James Hurst step in?
It means everything, and it means a big concern for me, man. It's Lamar's blind side, right? It's the left tackle. It's the cornerstone of that line. Stanley's having an all-pro year. Pro Bowl year and outstanding. And it means if we can skate by and I don't want to discredit the Jets, right? They've actually beat some formidable opponents this year, and it's any given Monday, Sunday, Thursday, whatever day they play on these days. You cannot take an opponent lately. No discount to the Jets. I know what they are. The record says they are. They're without a few of their stars, but you know, going into this game, it means that it's really going to be a concern. But it's also, okay, there's no weather factor, I don't think. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be 20-mile-an-hour winds tomorrow night. I sure hope not.
It's supposed to be super-duper cold. I know that.
I'm good with it as long as it's dry, because I know it's been raining and snowing here the past two nights. But, you know, as long as it's dry for me and the team. But besides the point, I just feel like, you know, it's again, it's a big concern. But if they can get by with it with Hurst there, make do with what you have. And again, with Lamar's legs, right? This isn't Joe back in the pocket where you're not going to get a non-mobile guy. And obviously we know Hurst's track record that he did let the sack happen to Joe Flacco that ultimately hurt his knee. So that's been a topic of discussion this week, especially with Lamar coming off the quad injury.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, but that changed Joe's career. Joe never truly recovered, especially mentally, from that injury.
He didn't definitely recover it. Obviously, as we know, you know, he's never the same after that. And then just the injuries kept mounting on later in his career, back, now the neck, and it just ultimately led to his demise. But besides the point there, this is a huge glaring concern for me. But if the Ravens can maybe call the run plays to the right and maybe have Lamar, instead of roll always out to the right, maybe they'll create the game plan to do that. And another thing, right? It's Thursday night. If they can get by the Jets, Ronnie Stanley has another 10 days before their next game. So, and that'll be almost two full weeks, right? Because he got hurt on Sunday, you know, and then obviously they play on Thursday, let the Sunday go. So that'll be two full weeks since Ronnie Stanley played. I feel like that's ample enough time through the concussion protocol. I certainly wholeheartedly agree with you. If this was a Sunday afternoon game or even Monday, I think Ronnie Stanley 100% plays and is cleared, just because it's already 3 days removed from the game. Way too early to tell. When I heard the concussion was in the protocol was in play, I was like, I was already new, and he was probably going to sit out this one and not be cleared to play. So it's a huge loss, but I feel like the Ravens can do enough to counter his loss, and all eyes are going to be, as soon as that ball snapped, while I'm there live watching the game, man, I'll be watching that left side like a hawk, because I'm really going to be concerned with that line. And let's hopefully Hurst can hold up for a game, and we don't have to worry about it.
All right, so I didn't want to stop you. You were on a roll, but you were saying Lamar on Thursday, protect Lamar, let Lamar do this. Lamar Jackson is questionable. He did get a quad injury. He didn't practice, I believe, on Monday. He came back on Tuesday and Wednesday, but right now he still is listed as questionable. So you were saying Lamar this, Lamar that. Is Lamar going to be the QB1 on Thursday night?
Of course he is.
You think so? Is it this injury isn't going to hold him?
No, he's playing. He's already said himself in the press conference he's playing. He's listed officially as questionable. They have to designate that. So is Mark Andrews. So obviously Mark Andrews was banged up. Both were limited in practice. Lamar actually felt fine. No lingering issues. Monday, I think it was more soreness. I mean, we can all play doctor, of course, but following the great Jameson Hensley, covers the team for ESPN, he kind of said Lamar was walking on Monday with noticeable limp. He was limited in practice, which is good other than sitting out. You don't want him out of practice because that would have been detrimental, right? And then the following day, they kind of did the walkthrough, and they said he was throwing footballs. No ill lingering effects there. He said he was fine. I had a chance to listen to Harbaugh's and Lamar's press conference, and Lamar did confirm. He's like, no, I'm ready to go on playing. You know, I think in more or less it was probably sore in the hit he took it on. For all those naysayers and doubters, no, he didn't get hurt running. He actually got hurt in the pocket, believe it or not. He hurt it on the Hayden Hurst touchdown, which is beautiful, and we'll certainly dissect that because that was the play of the game, I feel, on the offense, obviously, with the touchdown there. And in retrospect, I didn't even know he got hurt. I mean, obviously, he played the whole game. Who knew, right? Until the day after, and it was like, what, he got hurt? Then when I saw the videotape of the actual replay going back to the film, I saw the shot he took. I'm like, well, yeah. He took it right to the midsection and the thighs there. So, you know, I'm glad he's okay. Obviously, all Ravens Nation is glad he's okay. I'm sure all the fantasy people are glad he's okay. And, you know, but our number eight is truly going to play Sunday. I don't see him holding out. And again, we can certainly confirm here, Ronnie Stanley being doubtful designation. I think he's the real, other than Chris Board with a concussion as well. Those are the two Ravens I feel like are in any danger of not playing in this game tomorrow.
All right, so that means Mark Andrews, you also see him playing as well, which is good. That's Lamar's favorite target. So if Lamar's in.
Is he really?
That's Lamar's favorite target. Really? I mean.
I thought we have a one Hayden Hurst emerging.
Now.
And Nick Boyle. We have so many good tight ends, man. I mean, yeah, Mark Andrews, we know. I mean, it's not a secret, right? He's been his favorite target ever since he became a starter. But isn't it great to see Hayden Hurst you know, involved and getting a big play? But something that baffles me, and I want to go back to this. Did you see these stats that these Ravens, the Ravens social media puts out?
I didn't see them this week. What did they say?
They said Hayden Hurst reached a top speed of like what, like 20 something miles an hour.
Oh, I did see that. Yes.
Yeah, and it said it was the fastest Raven. I'm like, how is that when Marquise Brown scored two long touchdowns in week one?
Right.
Yeah, I just feel like Marquise Brown probably, unless he didn't really get up to full speed on those plays. I don't know. But I'm like, don't tell me that was the fastest recorded speed by a Ravens receiver, tight end, or wide receiver running back this season. I find that hard to believe, man. And if it, obviously it's got to be true. I don't think the Ravens have really put that out officially, but that's impressive, and also impressive for a guy his size, man. And he did a turn on the Jets. Lamar, it was a great play fake. Soon as he play faked it, he stood tall in the pocket. Obviously, he got hit after the throw. And threw an absolute great pass right to Hayden Hurst. Hayden Hurst is wide open, and he just took off down the sideline. Beautiful play that broke open the game.
Yeah, we don't see Hayden Hurst put on the Jets very often, but like you said, reaching over 20 miles per hour is pretty fantastic.
That's scary. A guy of his size and weight, trucking at 20 mile an hour plus down this field with the ball. Hey, I'm telling you. Yeah, they might not be household names and recognizable names out there, but I'm telling you what, and it's also great to see Hayden Hurst getting involved in, because I know he's been involved in those early trade talks, you know, with some things going around with some players in there, and because we have three good tight ends, right, and we just signed Nick to an extension. We already know Mark Andrews is that favorite target. It was almost like Hayden Hurst was the odd man out, being expendable for trade bait, but obviously he was picked right before Lamar. It just goes without saying those two are going to always be tied. Hayden Hurst, 25th. We jump back in and get to Lamar, 22nd. It's proving well right now. And it was great to see Hayden Hurst really get involved in the game. And anybody, role players, whether it's Nick Boyle, Andrews, Justice Hill, Mark Ingram, Hollywood, Boykin. I mean, yeah, some of these guys have been quiet as of late, but there's always been a new guy emerging, and it's good to see sneaking in. But all in all, you could talk about how crazy of a day it was, but you know what's lost in all this with the defense and everything else?
What's that?
Lamar still threw three touchdowns on Sunday.
That's right, he did.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like it's not – I'm going to say it's forgotten about, but it's like, yeah, it's overshadowed by the defense of getting the stop at the end, getting six sacks and multiple pressures on Josh Allen, and really – really honing in on the game plan on defense. But it's like, but Lamar actually had a quietly good day. Yeah, the yardage wasn't there, didn't need to be there, but he was efficient, through three touchdowns, had his first pick. And when they put the graphic up, I'm like, are you kidding me? It's been that long? I mean, look at it this way. This is how crazy this season has been. The Ravens have 9 straight wins, man. They've won for over 2 months. Their last loss was September 29th. It is now the eve of the Thursday night game. This is December 11th. And again, my buddy Jordan actually tweeted this, and I thought it was a really good stat, and it probably is true. As soon as Lamar threw that pick, obviously it was a tip pass. He felt that 99% of Lamar's interceptions this year are probably from tip balls. It's probably true, because I feel like it just didn't, you know, it just glanced off the receiver's hands and it was a pick. But when they put the graphic up, that was Lamar's first interception since week 5 against the Steelers. I was like, it's been that long. He had over 180 straight pass attempts without an interception. That's how crazy efficient he's been. Like, talk about an MVP-type performance, man. It's just incredible to see. And but it goes without saying again, another three touchdowns. And
what about the touchdown to who was it, Nick Boyle, where it just kind of looked like it was he was just kind of like, oh, he's open, I'll just throw the ball to him.
I thought he dropped it. I was like, I think it's because it was such an excitable play and it was easy. Because it looked like Lamar was going to run it in and see that this is the Lamar Jackson effect, right? This shows you, and I've kind of called this play out, and I'm surprised he didn't do it before, where why don't you roll out Lamar like a bootleg? It looks like he's going to score, right? And then at the last minute, he flips it for a touchdown. You know, I saw that was easy because you suck the defense in and you just toss it right over their heads and everybody's wide open. I mean, that can happen anywhere on the field, and goal line is very easy because all you need is just to flip a touchdown. But I felt like Lamar, I don't know if it was the wind took the ball or something, but it was like he flipped the ball and it looked like he got away from him and Nick Boyle, and he had to like juggle. And at first when he was juggling, he went down. I'm like, oh, he probably dropped it, hit the ground. And nope, the replay showed it, proved it was a touchdown catch. So you got to give kudos to Nick Boyle recovering for that. And it was a clever play. I love those play calls. And again, man, Lamar didn't have to do it all himself with the yardage on the ground in the air, but he was efficient. Another three touchdowns. Willie Snead catching another touchdown in there. The Ravens were resilient, man. They went up 24-9, and you know, it was one of those games where, yeah, it was close, Brandon, but I don't know if you felt like this until the fourth quarter, obviously. But for me, I felt like the game was never out of hand until that point. Because even though the game was close, the Ravens were just relentless on defense. They were doing enough on offense with the ball control and taking care of it. I felt like they had the game the whole way.
To be honest, I mean, even when the Ravens have been down the last couple weeks, I've never felt like they're down and out. You know, it's when they were up against the 49ers. I mean, I was on the edge of my seat and I was watching the game and going, oh, I hope they can pull this off. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, I know they can pull this off. I mean, these guys are playing out of their minds. They're doing fantastic. I mean, they're running circles around some of the other teams. So they were up against a great Buffalo Bills team, a team that deserves to be at the time 9-3. I was never nervous. I was like, oh, I hope they can do it. But I always had confidence. I should say that. I always had confidence that these guys would be able to pull off a W.
No, that's a good way to put it, man. And why not? I mean, the Ravens boast the AFC's best record. They're the current number one seed in the playoff race. They're 11-2. Their 11 wins is the most in the AFC and tied with the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC for the best overall record in the NFL. So you have to feel proud what they're doing. 9 straight wins. I mean, like, it's almost like this. If you're betting, if you're doing a pick 'em pool, or if you're doing predictions, why pick against them until they really lose? Because it's like, really? I mean, they're balling. They're the best team. And right now it sets up, they have 3 inferior teams. They're going to be favored in the rest of the 3 as we know it. Right now they're just balling all cylinders. And again, this is the second straight week they've won a close game. They won the first one by 3 points, the Niners game. This one by 7, one possession game. They're winning pretty and they're winning ugly. And this, I feel like, makes them more dangerous, man, because of how ugly they are playing, or they're winning and some things don't go their way sometimes. But, you know, at the end result, if you stack more wins than losses, you're putting yourself in position. And sometimes the most wins get you the number one seed in the home field, and you reap the benefits of that. I don't know how many times I got to talk to people about this, man. Everybody's worried about the quality of wins or opponents. I'm like, no matter if you beat the Bengals. To me, Brandon, look at it this way. If you take the Bengals game that we won, what, 59-10 or something like that, and then you take the Patriots game, you can break down the stats. You can break down how much we won by. But at the end of the day, they both count on the 2 in the 2 column on the 11 that we have. They're 2 of the 11 wins. That's what matters right now, because as of right now, the Patriots have 10 wins and 3 losses. The Ravens have 11 wins and 2 losses. They're the current number one seed. So I don't care how bad you beat an opponent, how many touchdowns you throw, how many yards you get. As long as you win the game and you have more points than the other team, that gets you places in the league. So have at it if you like those kind of things. But for me, stacking wins and stacking statements is where it's at. But dude, you know what a win in Buffalo, man. Another road win. Dude, it just feels fantastic, man. Again, just, and again, it's like, what else can they do? It's like you get out of this, I'm like, it was a win, but it's like, yeah, it was close. But dude, we're riding higher with this team, man. And of all the stars that we've had with Ray and Reed and Suggs and all that. I've never seen a run like this. This is insane. I mean, obviously we haven't because we have a franchise record, 9 straight wins. We're 11-2 for the first time, but this is just unprecedented what they're doing. Who'd have thought this?
So I got to ask, I mean, you just said it doesn't matter if it's the Bengals or the Patriots. Why did you pick those two teams? You filming them on the sidelines or something?
I knew you were going to go there, and I kind of said that too because they play against each other, and I was kind of taking a stab at the Patriots for what they're doing. Again, man, they can't stay out of their own way. And what's that say? Well, I don't know. Again, we don't know the dust settles. I mean, you can already see the writings on the wall, but you know whether they were hired by the team or not. But it's like just from the surface and high level of review of it, man, you're so bad at football that you have to spy on the worst team in football. What's that say about your organization? I mean, I don't know what you have to come of this. I mean, the league's still got to do their research, but you know, I've heard different versions, right? I don't know what version you heard, but it's like, I heard it was just a third-party company working through the Patriots, and they knew nothing about them. And then I heard that they knew about they were there, and they knew it was illegal. But it's like, and someone brought this up on social media. I forget who it was, but they're like, how can you deny something that you didn't know anything about in the first place? So something's really fishy here. Doesn't surprise me. Spygate number two. And at this point, they have 2 straight losses, man. They're dire straits, but it's kind of why I did pick those two teams. You're right.
If you are the NFL, say you do this investigation and it does turn out that the Patriots knew about it and the Patriots did this and Patriots did that, what's the punishment at this point? Like, are you not allowed to be a team for 2 seasons or something like that? I mean, look at the first Spygate and what they did and losing draft picks and that kind of stuff. Look what happened with the Deflate Gate and suspending Brady, and that didn't do anything, obviously. I mean, how do you, I don't know. I don't know the answer. How do you,
I got a suggestion. Let me ask you this. So remember what happened to some of the NCAA schools when they got in trouble? Remember what happened to USC?
What happened to them?
Didn't they vacate their national title?
That's true, yeah.
Didn't I don't know what school it was. I don't want to call it the wrong school, but I think it's Penn State or high school. One of the big schools, remember, they weren't bowl eligible for like a season or two, even though they had like a winning record. So it's almost like, I mean, this is huge, right? I'm not just saying this because the Ravens are going for 1 seed. I mean, I am, but I'm not. But do you disqualify New England from the playoffs saying like, okay, obviously, because you can't forfeit wins, or do you really forfeit the wins saying, okay, well, we're going to put an L in the loss column and that counts as an L because you can't – it's almost like, what do you do? You're not going to take Super Bowls away from them, right? I mean, right. He's just not going to do that, you know, changing history there. But it's like, you know, what do? Do you dock them, you know, oh, you're an ineligible from the playoffs for 1 year? You know, are you – I mean, I don't think you can eliminate them from playing a 1 whole season. I mean, you're going to lock out a whole team for 1 year. I don't think so. But it's almost like, you know, do a punishment similar to college football. Vacate draft picks. I mean, you can do fines and all that, but why don't you vacate your draft pick or you lose your first round pick from the following year, no matter where you lose. You don't. It doesn't go anywhere. It just disappears from the board. Like, it doesn't go to anybody. Or maybe it does and they hold a lottery and randomly some other team gets it, who knows, or it goes to the next. I don't know. I mean, they got to have some form of punishment other than these fines, because I mean, speaking from a guy who had in this past repeat offending legal issues, it's, you have to make it so severe that they don't do it again. It's obviously, if you just find them in this and that, I think the first Spygate, weren't they fined like, wasn't the coach fined a certain amount? The team fined a certain amount? Weren't they dock picks, I think?
Yeah, I think for 2 years. Yeah.
For 2 years, yeah. So it's almost like, what do you do? I thought so. I remember it. I was like, yeah, they weren't. So it's like, what do you do? Instead of docking picks, do you don't get the draft that year? Or do you not be eligible for the NFL playoffs? I mean, something's got to happen. That's a good discussion. But again, this is just another thing where, you know, I mean, you know me, right? I mean, I've said it on the podcast. It's not a secret. I mean, I've been a fan of the greatness, and you know, I've always said it's good to keep him in the AFC because iron sharpens iron, and Brady's great. And you know, I met the guy and shook hands with him this summer. I mean, you know, I met Belichick, I met Brady in person. I met Edelman, these great guys, and you know, I mean, to me, it's history, part of the game. But it's like at one point, you know, I mean, I don't think Tom Brady himself's orchestrating the filming. I think it comes from the top. I think it stops at Bill Belichick and his staff. I mean, you can crucify the team if you want to, Brandon, or anybody else who's listening, but the players aren't responsible. I mean, you can maybe say a case for Deflategate because the players, you know, they feel the balls are playing with the. I mean, it sounds great when you say tongue in cheek ball playing with the balls, but the players, that's their bread and butter, right? They're playing with the football. But you know, the coaching, when they're doing this whole Spygate and putting people in booths to this videotape, I'm sure Tom Brady and Julian Edelman and James White, they don't have a play in that. I mean, I don't know, but I'm just saying, I don't think players are involved in that scheme. So to me, I mean, Brady's always going to be Brady. He's going to be great. You know, he's obviously still first ballot Hall of Famer, no question. He could just get the jacket now. But besides the point, enough love fest for that. You know, but that's a great point. And I feel like there's got to be more severe punishment than years past. I don't think they've learned. And it doesn't surprise me. And then it also is awesome because the Chiefs did beat them, handing them their second loss. And I don't know if you realize this, but it was their first home loss in like 2 or 3 years in the regular season. It's been a while. They've been virtually unbeatable. This is why I want home field to come through Baltimore. I do not want to go up there and listen to that stupid foghorn in person. I'm tired of that thing. I heard it once live, and it's annoying. And their fans are annoying. But at least when I went to the game, you know, Pittsburgh fans treated me better in person at the playoff games than the New England fans did. But it's one game. I don't let it bother me. I root hard no matter where I'm at. But yeah, great topic discussion. You caught on to my little play there, Bengals, Patriots, and I did that too, and it didn't work, and it kind of worked out because if I look at my schedule, we did play the Patriots, then the Bengals right in two consecutive weeks. So it was kind of, that's how I honed in on it. It was just right there in front of me, and I just honed in on those two opponents. But and you get it, you get my, the gist of my point is wins win. Getting back to the original point of hand, wins win. Yeah, but these last two wins, we know what they were. You know, it was ugly. It was close, contested against two good teams, two very good teams who had defenses. And but again, the Ravens overcame that, and you know, it remains to be seen. But speaking of playoffs and all that, I don't want to get too far ahead, man. But you know what team I really want to crack at again?
Who's that?
The Kansas City Chiefs, because Lamar is yet to beat them guys. I feel like this whole Lamar, Mahomes, Ravens, Chiefs, that might be that new rivalry now with Lamar at the helm, because you remember how it was before, like, you know, we couldn't beat the Steelers away, or, you know, Joe would go up to Foxborough and lose, or go to Pittsburgh and we couldn't get the win. You know, now I feel like it's the Lamar's Lamar's three losses in his career in regular season. We don't count the playoff loss. I'm just talking regular season. He's got four losses total, including that. Two of the three losses are the Kansas City Chiefs. So, and they've both been at their house. So my dream is to have a crack at them again. I'm calling it the Ravens end up getting the number one seed, and we actually, for the first time, get that in franchise history. And I'm calling a Ravens-Chiefs AFC title game in Charm City for the title. And that's the dream scenario. We get them here this time. And that's what I mean, again, I don't want to go too far ahead. I mean, you know, there's no rules here, right? But I'm just saying that's kind of how I see things playing out. And I feel like with the Patriots being so weak and the Chiefs already beating them, and with what's going on up there, I feel like right now the Ravens and Chiefs are in the AFC.
I mean, let's see what happens in the playoffs. I mean, Andy Reid, he does not do well in the playoffs. He does not know how to coach in the playoffs. So let's see how he does going forward. But we got a couple games before we get to those playoffs. I know it's so exciting. But
yeah, roll me back in, man. I'm getting that playoff fever.
I know, but
I just want those playoff games at home so bad I can taste it. I told somebody, I was like, if we get the one seed and we end up, I mean, I'll probably cry anyway, but I was like, if we end up getting an AFC title game here in Baltimore, I might go on Facebook Live and like shed tears, because I'm like, just imagine, and I don't get too carried away with it, man, but just a little snippet of it. I don't know if you talked to any Eagles fans or anybody who's been around that, but I had a chance to speak to Eagles fans who were there present 2 years ago when they beat the Vikings to go to Super Bowl. And it's like, yeah, I know fans can't afford to go to the big game, but they said that was, if not precious, even more, because they got to see it on their home turf, celebrate with the team and all their fans at once, and just realizing that their team won their conference championship, to get to go to the big dance, and it's just a big, 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 big party. And it's like, and it, I mean, I know how I felt when Ray's Last Dance game was here and we won that game and I stayed and I shared some tears and memories of Ray Lewis and seeing him do his trot around the field it's just something special. And the Ravens, like you said, they got to take care of business. Number one's Thursday night. If we can, they took care of business against the Bills, right? Step one, win that game, punch your ticket to the postseason. That's great. Players aren't talking about it. Here it is, the game. It's the eve of Thursday night. They can beat the Jets at home, prime time, stamp their ticket. It'll be the second straight year for me. I'll be present for an AFC title clinching game, obviously the Browns game last year. So it'll feel great as fans to get to know that that's official. And you officially clinch the Kings of the North and defending the North for the second straight year. But the Ravens finished 2 out of the next 3 with wins. That pretty much sums up a number one seed for the Ravens. So it's pretty exciting times here in Baltimore, man. We've done a lot of coverage, haven't we? I mean, the first year me and you came about to do the podcast, we covered the title in 2012. What a great run, right? And we've seen a lot of special things. Ray's last game, the Maha Miracle, the 4th and 29 that year. There's a lot of things going on that year. We've seen other things happen in other games. Remember the Vikings game we were at together. Mm-hmm. But again, we're enjoying another magical ride and covering every step of the way, man. And just it seems like if it's not every year, every few years, this team just does something that just makes you shake your head and go, wow, and just enjoy the ride. You know, it might not last another 2 or 3 years, but for right now, I'm living in 2019. I don't care. I don't listen to people. Oh, it's sustainable. Can this team do it next year? What pieces are going to be back next year? They're going to have all this cap room. I'm like, I don't care. I'm focusing on 2019. They're 11-2, and the goals at hand is they can win the division, get a number one seed, and go to the Super Bowl. I mean, we went from a team who was 2-2 earlier in the year, lost to the Browns 40-25, had no chance of being in any Super Bowl conversation business. Now you're talking about a front runner for MVP, number one seed team, and the odds all favorite to win it all in a matter of 2 months. This is how quickly things can turn around, and they also turn around negative. I mean, the Ravens can end up losing the next 3. Who knows? I mean, we don't know. So it's, I mean, history and the way they're playing shows you not. They can't. There's no way. But you got to play the games, and it starts with the Jets, and I feel like they're going to give us fits, but there's one Jet that we're not going to be able to see for a revenge game. Mosley is out for the year, so he's not playing in this one.
That's right. He's out for the rest of the year. That's right. So
yep.
I think doesn't that actually hurt the comp picks that they get for the draft coming up since he's out?
I think it does. For all those who know that little nuances, when a Ravens or a former player goes to free agency and gets a contract, the Ravens end up it's a crazy cool rule, right? The Ravens actually get a comp pick for that free agent player leaving, but depends on. It's almost tied to performance. If the player plays a certain amount of games for him, the pick rises and falls. But with him being out for the year, the pick can end up being a very, very low round pick. So, Mosley really didn't do us any favors with getting an injury. But then it just shows you that glad we didn't pay him. But you don't know the future, right? Who knows if we'd have paid him a big contract, he probably don't get hurt here. Who knows, right? But because obviously he's not playing in the games that he's playing with the Jets versus the Ravens. But for sake of the conversation, you know, you can really look at it and go, well, glad we didn't pay him because he got hurt and we saved the money and play other players, role players that we're doing now to help us win games. So no C.J. Mosley, but somebody who is coming off a record bowling performance, Le'Veon Bell, man, he's going to play. And I remember the hype. Remember the hype in the offseason where – yeah, it was thought he could be a Raven, and I was all in on that train.
You were all in on that train. I was not all in. I was letting you go.
I was like, it's got to happen. Here's why. I'll admit, I was all over that.
I'm happy to see that he is not a Raven. I'm happy to see that he's a Jet. So good for him. Go do your thing. But let's just close up the show this week with saying we want the Ravens to come away with a win. We want them to come out injury-free. What do the Ravens have to do to make sure that they do come out with a win? What do they have to shut down on the Jets? What do they have to do offensively to make sure they hit that end zone? Tell me that.
All right, so keys to the game to shut down the Jets. Obviously, take care of Bell in the backfield. He's their best player by far on both offense eliminate that. I know who's not playing for the Jets. He's listed as doubtful. Safety Jamal Adams. is a big X factor in the secondary and the defense for the Jets. If it wasn't Mosley being defensive player, it was definitely Jamal Adams. He's listed as doubtful, will not be playing in this one most likely. So that's another huge win for the Ravens on the stat sheet and the check mark, checking the boxes for the keys of the game. They got to stop Le'Veon Bell and do the same blueprint what they did to bring the heat to Garoppolo week prior and then to Josh Allen this past weekend. Bring the heat on this young kid, Darnold. Again, Lamar will tell you in the press conference it's not him versus Darnold because he plays against the Jets defense, which is 100% true. I don't know why people say this and that. We get it because it's, you know, quarterback versus quarterbacks and their offenses. But, Sam Darnold was picked earlier in the same draft that Lamar was picked in. Obviously, Lamar picked last in that draft, last quarterback taken in the first round. We know he's outperforming everybody. And anybody who's a quarterback this year, and it's going to be, you got to bring the pressure on Darnold and really make him beat you, really shut down the run. And the running game is going to be intriguing too, because for the last 2 weeks, Mostert and Devin Singletary were running all over us, can't stop them. So in the edges, that's going to be a key for me too, especially on defense. You know, they could probably stuff the run at the middle, but the edges, man. If Le'Veon Bell can get out inside the edges, I think he's going to really hurt the Ravens offensively there on the Jets offense. And then obviously the Ravens defensively need to stop him. So that's a key. And then for the Ravens on offense, obviously I feel like no 20, 25 mile an hour wins. I don't think so. No rain. I feel like the Ravens need to get back to what they do best, run the ball well, and let it fly with Lamar's arm. And I feel like another three touchdown performance is in order. And Lamar could be under the spotlight. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in this game. Where do we start? But Brandon, you know Lamar's in line for a couple records here.
Oh, really?
Yep, he sure is. We was hoping he would get it on Sunday, but it ended up being not. But we know Lamar is closing in on that all-time QB rushing record. He is 23 yards away from beating it.
I like it. Any time that we can get his name on the in the record books, even better. And this guy is playing his first full season. That's even crazier.
And not only that, but he's already eclipsed technically his first full season start. Lamar's 17-3 as a starter.
That's
wild. His first 16 games, his first actually full sample size. I mean, you're right. This is the first bookend season 2019. But if you take starts from last year, in his first 16, he went 13-3. So it's just amazing to see what he's doing, putting up numbers. And speaking of that, since his starts, this is his 30th start, under 30 starts. And you know what he's going to be doing, accomplishing if he gets 122 pass yards? He's going to be the first, I think, the first and only quarterback, in his first 30 or so games or something like that to have. I had to look up the stat. I saw it briefly, and again, I don't know if I saved it. But apparently he's going to be the first quarterback either in 30 games or so many games to throw for 4,000 yards and rush for 1,500. So it's unreal what he's doing. Right now, I just feel like it's the Ravens, it's their number one seed to lose, and it's Lamar's MVP race to lose. I mean, I know you don't care about it. I know we all do. We want to see him get it. It's well-deserved, but he'll tell you he just wants a Super Bowl. He don't care about Pro Bowls. He don't care about MVPs, but the dude, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but right now, after throwing three touchdowns against Buffalo, he actually leads the league of all the quarterbacks, Brady, Breeze, Rivers, Matt Ryan, you name it. He's actually leads the whole entire NFL with touchdown passes. Isn't that amazing? And another record, Ravens record, fell this past Sunday. He eclipsed Joe Flacco's mark of 27. He stands second all-time to Vinny Testaverde. Vinny Testaverde has 33 touchdown passes, and that's a Ravens mark that was set in our inaugural year at 96. So that record has stood for a whole franchise history, and Lamar that has that in his sights. So if he can throw, depending on how the next two games go, if we end up sitting starters, we don't know if they're going to sit starters week 17. There's speculation of that. That's all hearsay at this point because we don't know what the outcome is going to be. But if he can throw another couple of three touchdown pass games, he could definitely have the Ravens single franchise record in a season with 33 touchdowns or more. So, but he's got a couple records there. Where do I start? The Ravens, again, are wearing black for a third time this year. They did it against New England. They did it against the Niners and are doing it against the Jets.
I love that
black jersey. Love it, man. I think they're going to do black and purple pants. The black jersey, purple pants. I don't know. They did all black. They did the combination of all three. They did the black jersey, white pants against New England. They did the black and black against the Niners. And I think this one will be black jersey, purple pants. For this one is my speculation, and a couple other things for this game. Again, just keep adding on to the Thursday night festivities. Steve Smith Sr. is the legend of the game, man. That's going to be fun. And remember an old staple here in Baltimore before he left to go on to bigger and better things for his life. Remember our old anthem singer, Michelle Miller? He's actually been invited back to sing the national anthem for Thursday night. And boy, I'm excited for that.
He's a talent.
He's awesome. And that's good. That might make me cry. I'm telling you, his rendition, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the atmosphere of the playoff game. When he did the anthem for Ray's Last Dance, it was incredible. And never forget it. And he's dynamic. And I really can't wait to get in my seats and hear the anthem and shout my own loud and proud and just get this. I can't wait to be under the lights on Thursday night. It's coming, man. We're actually recording this. We are 24 hours away, my friend.
It's officially 24 hours. That's right. Right as we're recording this right now. 24 hours away. I know you can't wait. I can't wait. Why don't you give us a prediction for the game? Who's going to win and what's going to be the score?
The score is going to be 27-7 Ravens.
Oh, okay, good. I thought you were going with Jets there for a second.
Ooh, come on, man. Come on. Nah, definitely not.
I also have to say the Ravens are going to come away with a win. And I'm going to say, let's see. I mean, I was so good last week with this prediction. I'm going to say 42-10
And something to shine, something to talk about. Lamar, in his first two primetime games of his career, he had a first Monday night and a first Sunday night this year, and he's shown, all the way through. I mean, the Monday nighter was just something to rave about. I mean, the Pacers game was awesome to begin with, and then, you know, to top it off with a 5-touchdown performance and a just a drubbing of the Rams on Monday Night Football. This is Lamar's first exposure to Thursday Night Football. In his third primetime game, and the Ravens have won 11 primetime games in a row at home. So, so it goes without me saying there's some mojo here with these primetime games, and now I'm definitely ready to get it started. So I think the Ravens are built for it. I think it's all said and done. The Jets might start quick, but they'll falter fast, and I think the Ravens have too much for them. But, again, and not only the Ravens, but the Jets are playing a short week. Everybody makes a big deal of just the Ravens are short week, but the Jets played Sunday too. So, both teams played. So both teams are on a short week, and usually the home team fares a little better. The Ravens didn't have far to travel this much because they were just going to just north in Buffalo, which is a short charter flight up upstate New York. So they didn't have to travel cross country. They're not getting back late. The game was at 1:00. They were back in town, late Sunday night, and had 3 full days to prepare and rest up. And I know, man, I don't know about you, but everybody's freaking out on Monday when they seen the injury report and everybody was limited and all that. And I'm like, do you realize we play Thursday, right? Because usually Monday they do film, Tuesday they're off, Wednesdays are full day of practice, Thursday they do practice, Friday they do walkthrough. I mean, we get the routine, right? We've been doing this all along, but. Again, people just need to be talked off the ledge a little bit. And as we see, we know the questionable designations for the injury report has got to be official, but we're going to have our guys, minus Stanley, as we know, and, let's just get out of here with a good W and rest up for the Browns.
That's right. So get out with the W, get out without any injuries. That's the ultimate goal. And once you win, the AFC North is ours. It's the Ravens. They're going to be the kings of the North. That's what we want to hear. So that's what we want to see. That's what we want to hear. We just want Lamar to get out of there.
Got to do it with your accent, like Game of Thrones, right? Kings of the North. Yeah, but you know what I'm also excited about?
What's that?
I might have to get another pass to Jimmy. I didn't do it last year, and I'm regretting it. Jimmy's famous seafood already said the Ravens win the North. They're bringing back the Ice Throne.
Oh, very cool. Now, it's only December 11th, so I want to give all the bootleg t-shirt people out there an idea. When the Ravens become the Kings of the North, can we get a t-shirt that says Kings of the North Pole and have a Raven with a Santa beard or something? Because, I mean, that just seems like it writes itself. I mean, let's just do that. Kings of the North Pole. That's what I want to see.
Hey, anybody listening out there? I know a few t-shirt makers, so maybe we can make it happen.
All right, that's cool. Give them my idea. We can split the commission there if you got some friends that make t-shirts.
It was Brandon's idea. Don't give me any tea. He takes all the credit.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, we are always sharing all kinds of stuff over on Facebook.
We can't break tradition.
What's that?
We got to keep the winning streak going.
Oh, okay. Josh, have we covered everything?
Quote the Raven, nevermore. But yeah, you got to get it in there because you can't break the streak. Got to keep everything the same.
That's true.
I just realized, I'm like, you didn't say it. Hey, it's all right. We have fun right here. We get lost in the shuffle. I get it.
You're not superstitious, but you are a little stitious.
No, I'm very stitious. I mean, but speaking of that, before we close out and do your thing, and I do mine. You know, my buddy Rich, it was funny because he's got this thing where he's so superstitious like we all are as fans, and he didn't wash his Justin Tucker jersey all year. And he would just like wear it for games and put it away. And like, you know, he would like do whatever he needs to do to freshen up, I guess. I don't know. And we went to the rain game together against the Niners, and he wore it. And then it was joking because even though we won the game, he's like, I don't have to wash it now because Mother Nature washed it for me. So it was already clean. And then now he just kept it, and obviously the winning streak's intact. So and everybody jokes, and he's always said, you know, the moment I wash it and we lose, it's my fault. I mean, remember the year I think me and you went to the Jets game at the Meadowlands?
Yes.
Remember, I thought it was my fault because I had this Ravens bracelet for years, and it was one of those like plastic bracelets, and it broke, and it was the week that we played the Giants, and then it was like on the cusp of a 2-game losing streak, and then we had lost like 4 or 5 in a row, and it was like we were like, what, 3-0 or something at that time, and then we lost 4 in a row, and we were 3-4, and it was on the cusp of that Giants and Jets back-to-back road games up there. Yeah, so I've always swore it was my fault that we lost those games because I broke my bracelet. So we fans were very, very superstitious. But speaking of that, before I close out, I would love to know what anybody's superstitions are. So feel free to message us or tweet us or Facebook us. We'd love to know your game day or season-long superstitions. I know we all have them, whether it's not wearing certain clothes, for me, it's not wearing – I'm another thing, I don't know if you've done this before – but whatever team we're playing, I tend on purpose not to wear their colors. I don't even wear Steeler colors anyway.
Right.
But I tend to like it was funny when we went to the Niners game. I wanted to wear my wool socks, and one of my pairs of wool socks actually had red bands on them. I'm like, I can't wear them because it's got red on it. Like, it's just like I'm very particular in like whatever team we're playing that week. I don't wear any of that. So obviously this week, I tend not to go anywhere near any certain colors or the team colors. I try not to, at least, but I'm very weird like that sometimes.
I mean, I don't think I do anything too crazy. I do wear jerseys. I will only wear my jersey on game day unless it's to meet a player, but otherwise it's just the jersey on game day. During the playoffs, I don't shave as long as they're playing. I normally don't shave anyway. If you look at me, I know.
People, well, it's like a hockey thing, right?
Yeah, it's a hockey thing.
Hockey.
But I don't know. I don't go to the same place every week to watch the game. Sometimes I don't even watch it. Sometimes I can only listen to it. I don't know. I'm not that superstitious, I guess. I mean, Purple Friday, you wear purple. I do that. You wear purple on game day. I don't know. I don't have that many superstitions, I guess.
Well, for you, it's always been going down the ocean. You might have to go down there to Sunday.
I'm fine with
Thursday.
No, I will. Well, yeah, I can't do that for Thursday, but I will be there this weekend.
See, I had a feeling you'd be down there. So you got to keep it going. You got to keep it going. You got to get the kind of life going to Ocean City. Like, you should just move down there for the football season and come back.
I like that. I like that idea.
Because I know summertime gets busy for you guys down there. But
that's how I make
remains
my money.
To be seen. Got that out of the way. And didn't mean to interrupt you, Brandon, but we had to not break tradition. Had to get that in there.
That's right.
Yeah, you got to get it in. But yeah, quote the Raven, nevermore. We got it covered. And carry on as you were.
All right. Yeah, so we go over to our Facebook page. Whenever a new show comes out or anything comes out, you'll be the first to know as long as you go over to our Facebook page. You never know when Josh is going to go on Facebook Live and do stuff there. So, again, follow us on Facebook. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. It is Ravens Jets. Oh, Finn is making an appearance. Hey, Finn. What's up, buddy?
There he is.
What's up, buddy? What's up, buddy? You got the Ravens or the Jets tomorrow, huh? Yeah, it's a Ravens boy. That's right. All right. So, Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you so very much. And again, man, I just can't wait to get down to the bank, enjoy this primetime festivities and the primetime game. And like we talked about on the show, and we all know, the North is on the line. Let's defend it for a second straight year. Let's get goal number two. We already got the P word. We punched our ticket to the playoffs. That's step number one. But no. Ravens ain't done. They got their eyes set and sights set on the North. And get that divisional crown. AFC North champions. It would feel good to go into a Purple Friday. Hey, Brandon, just level with me, right? Purple Friday. 10 straight win, 12-2, AFC North champs. It doesn't get any better than that, can it? And like Harbaugh always asks, who's got it better than us? Nobody. And nobody is playing out of their mind like the Ravens. Under the lights, M&T Bank Stadium, you better be tuning in. Gang Green comes into town, and we're not going to let them get frisky, because we're going to put a stop to their plans, because they looked to derail our winning streak, and we're going to show them we are the kings, not only the North, but the AFC and the NFL, and we're going to keep on trucking. With that being said, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.